Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to This Miraculous Life on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Oliveri Olumba, and I started this podcast because my hope for all of us is that we can tune in with the miraculousness of life and tune out all of the bullshit that gets in the way of that. So that's what this show is about, helping us to tune in with the miraculousness of life and giving practical, sometimes science-based tools, strategies, answers, frameworks to allow us to experience life as what it really is, which is a profound, miraculous, insanely awesome, mind-blowing experience. And today we are hearing from a listener who calls themselves One Confused Cookie. So I'm excited to share that letter. And what we are going to ultimately be finding out, what I'm going to reveal in today's episode, is my idea about the why of relationships. So the question of why even are relationships an important thing? Are they an important thing? And like, when do we say that a romantic relationship is something important for us to commit to, which is a little bit different from last week's episode. I think it was last week that was about compatibility. So the question is a little bit different from who do I commit to? The question is, why commit at all, right? What even is the value of that? So that is the question that I want to ultimately reveal an answer to today. And if that even is true, that it is important to commit. So we are going to hear from One Confused Cookie. As always, I have my amazing engineer, Alexia Brown, in the studio today.
Hello.
So are we, it sounds like we're ready to hear from One Confused Cookie. Let's go for it. So here is what the Confused Cookie has to say. And let's see, does this person, I don't believe this person identified whether they were male or female, but as we're reading the letter again aloud, we will see if there's any revealing details, but this may be a man or a woman. Dear Sarah, first and foremost, thank you for this podcast and this space to act with curiosity, vulnerability, and exploration. Wow, thank you. How generous. I am an extremely independent person. I have my own life, friends, a career, and a side business. I lead fulfilling and busy weeks, and I love it. I wasn't always this way. And in the last 4 years, I've made serious personal and emotional growth in terms of going from being dependent and defined by another to building a life that is all mine. It feels amazing, and I'm grateful every day. In other words, it feels as if I've gained some clarity about where I'm going and what I want to do. One thing I can't seem to get clarity on is romantic relationships and what I want from them. In the last 2 years, 8 of my close friends from back home have gotten married. They all got engaged at the same time and then all got married at the same time. Whoa, who are these friends? What I'm about to say, I do so in order to paint a picture and not to judge. They all have cookie-cutter relationships and trajectories. They have all married guys they've been with forever. They've all moved in together. They all got married and want kids soon. Based on interactions with them, they've communicated feeling incomplete until their relationships and marriages. So their relationships and marriages, they say, made them complete. I love and support them, but I can't imagine being happy with the lives they've built for themselves because of the pride I feel for the life I have, which is full, with or without a romantic partner. They all seem secure in their choices, except for one, and that has made me realize something. I can't define or figure out what role I think romantic relationships should play in my life. The thing is, I don't actually know what I want from a romantic relationship. I used to want cookie cutter years ago. I used to think a typical trajectory was what would make me happy: marriage, kids, house, etc. But since then, I'm not so sure anymore. I flex from envy to pity when I hear of my friends' predictable married lives. Sometimes the predictability and security sounds so wonderful. Other times it makes me feel trapped and panicky. They don't have anything of their own. My current relationship is lovely, and I'm happy it's in my life, but I can't seem to think about it for more than one day at a time. I have things I want to accomplish, personally and professionally. I can talk with clarity about that. But love, I can't answer what I truly, genuinely want from it. Social Media Sick, which was the episode 2 weeks ago, I believe, inspired me. Do I feel envy about my friends' married romantic lives because I genuinely want that? Or because it's what society deems as a successful relationship? And then, do I feel panicky and sick other times because I'm reacting against something that I deem as a boring and predictable norm? I know that I speak in extremes: cookie cutter versus non-cookie cutter, predictable versus exciting, but that's just how it feels. Does an in-the-middle stance even exist in a romantic relationship, or do I need to pick a side? Can I have security without typical predictability? Is that even what I'm craving? I know I'm asking a lot. Any insight would be appreciated. Sincerely, one confused cookie. Wow, confused cookie. Thank you for writing us. I think that this is an important topic, and I want to, there's something in your letter that stands out to me that I want to really commend you on, which is that you said you feel like you have a full and satisfying life with or without a partner. And I think that that is awesome. And I wish that everybody felt that way. I think that that is the best place from which to even consider a romantic relationship. So I want to start with that, because I think that it sounds like you imply from your letter that that hasn't always been the case, and that you put some effort in that. And I want to say to you that I'm proud of you, and that I believe that that effort is always worthwhile, and that anybody who can say that their life feels full with or without a partner, I believe that that person has set themselves up for a truly satisfying life. And not only that, but ironically set themselves up to make decisions about relationships from a healthy place, right? And from a place that is going to allow them to make choices that ultimately serve them, that align with their values, that feel good, right? Because you're coming from a place of fullness rather than a place of lack or insecurity. So I want to start with that, because I really honor what you said there. So thank you for that. I want to check in real quick with Alexia in the studio and see if she has any initial thoughts about what one confused cookie has shared with us.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. What was I thinking about? I was thinking about how they were saying that they may have wanted cookie cutter, but they're going back right and forth. And I think some of their like the way that they are being informed about what that life might look like is by looking at other people's lives.
Right.
So I think it's important to looking at other people's lives are great models for maybe deciding what we do want in our lives and what we might reject. But I'm interested to see what is their idea of how moving into this like cookie cutter or moving into this like more serious romantic relationship mode of their life might actually transform their life and transform them into achieving things that they want and having the life that they want. So I'm thinking about like how to separate having that from what other people have, if that makes sense.
Right. Right. How to sort of, I like what you said, that looking at other people's life is information, is sort of the way I interpreted what you said. Yeah, it is informative. Like you could, it kind of creates a smorgasbord. Like, ooh, I like the look of that. That's something that's inspiring to me. That's something that's appealing to me. But at the same time, not adopting what you see other people doing as your own, particularly if you see a lot of other people doing the same thing, that it might become confusing because you're like, oh, this seems like what everybody wants. So do I want that? Does that mean that I want that? Because it seems like what everybody else wants. And if I don't want that, then what do I want? So, yeah, but I love, Alexia, the thing that you shared that's kind of news to me that I wouldn't have thought about is that looking at other people can be information for you to say like, oh, that is something that I'm inspired by, or, oh, that's something that I'm actually repelled by. So awesome. So a couple of things, cookie cutter or confused cookie rather. So the first thing that I do want to talk about is the model that I introduced in the episode on dating and compatibility. And what I proposed is that in choosing what we are looking for in a romantic partner, we make a significant shift. And the shift that I am suggesting is a shift from looking at the attributes that you desire in a partner to instead looking at how you feel in a partnership and having your entire understanding of what you want in a partnership to be based on how you feel in that partnership, how you feel with that person, and how you feel about that person, right? And so the way that I suggested going about this is to list what you traditionally look for in a partner and translate that into emotions. And you can go back, listen to the episode on dating and compatibility if you haven't already, listeners. And that gives you a framework from which to understand what your best partnership looks like. Right. And so that to me is still number one in deciding what do I want in a relationship and how do I decide what to commit to is finding out what are my emotional criteria for a relationship and getting really deep and specific about that and learning to look for those emotions in yourself, learning to look at your own emotional experience, not only in dating, but throughout your life, in order that in approaching dating and approaching romantic commitment, you have a wealth of knowledge about your own emotional experience, right? You know what your emotions look like. You know which emotions you're feeling. You're able to label and put language behind your emotions in order that you can make really informed decisions about who you share your time with, but also ultimately, if this is what it comes to, who you share your life with. Okay, so that's number one, is really understanding your emotional criteria for a relationship and identifying a really robust list of how you want to feel with a partner that you are going to commit to. And the reality of that exercise is that it creates more possibility, right? In the sense that we talked about last time, which is that it is possible to feel deeply respected, to feel seen, to feel understood by somebody who you never expected that you would feel respected, seen, and understood by, right? So maybe there's somebody who has a career that is completely different from somebody who you thought you would feel understood by, or maybe they even make some different political choices than somebody who you thought you would feel deeply respected and seen by, right? So these things are all possible. But what I didn't share last time about the emotional criteria exercise is that the truth is that it is not easy to find a person with whom you feel all of the emotions that you end up putting on your emotional criteria list. So, right, I'll give some examples. For me, some essential things that would be on my emotional criteria would be understood. Understood is huge for me. Another one would be proud. Another one would be inspired, right? I want to be with somebody who actually inspires me. Another one would be elevated. So this is one that I talk about with people sometimes, and they're like, whoa, that seems like kind of a tall order. But I want to be in a partnership with somebody who I feel elevates me, because to your point, Confused Cookie, if the person doesn't elevate me, sort of like level me up personally, then why even be in a partnership, you know? So for me, elevated is the word that I would use to describe the feeling. So the reality is that having this emotional criteria opens you up to see these feelings in yourself with whoever elicits them. But the other truth is that it is a miracle. And I think lots of things are miracles. So I say that not in the sense that it's never going to happen, but in the sense that literally it is a miracle. It's a miracle to find a person with whom you feel all of the emotions that you have identified are really important to you and that you're looking for in how it feels to be around your potential partner. So I think that identifying the emotional criteria shifts our focus and opens us up to say yes to the relationship that is really right for us, you know, and to not eliminate people on criteria that we might typically have done so because that's what felt safe, you know, that's what made sense. But rather to be really attuned to how we are actually feeling. But the other thing that I think that this exercise does is prevent us from committing to the quote unquote wrong person. And the reason why it does that is because emotions are very hard to fake, right? You can look at somebody and see that they have all the attributes you're looking for, that they're handsome, that they are even kind and caring, right? That they have the right political views, that they are quote unquote open-minded. But at the end of the day, you might not always feel the way that you want to feel in your life in the company of that person. And your emotions are a more accurate assessment of what is happening in a relationship than looking at the other person's attributes. And so by looking at your emotions, you also sort of raise the stakes, in my opinion, of looking for a partner and finding a partner because you've become really attuned to yourself. And it's harder to sort of delude yourself when you're looking directly at your own emotions. And so as a result, what I find is that when people shift to this emotional criteria for a relationship, rather than looking for a certain type of partner or certain things in a partner, they actually begin to say no thank you to more partnerships. And I think that that's a good thing, because those partnerships ultimately wouldn't have worked anyway. Or if they did work, they would have worked sort of unhappily. But when we shift to this emotional criteria, we're giving ourselves permission to say it is possible, right? It is possible to feel all of the emotions that you want to feel in a relationship. And so, Confused Cookie, it sounds like from your letter, some things that you would put on your emotional criteria are things that are important for you to feel regardless of your relationship. So for example, it sounds like it would be important for you in your relationship to feel free, right? So I think free can be a feeling. So that is something that you could put on your emotional criteria. And you could think about, what are the other emotions that I gain from having my independence, from having this life that I've created for myself? And put those on the list of your emotional criteria for a relationship. Because what it sounds like is that you're thinking, maybe I would want a romantic partnership, maybe not, but I have all of these amazing things. I don't want to give those things up, right? And so if you commit to a partnership where it does feel like you're giving up your freedom, giving up your independence, then it's likely that that won't be satisfying for you. But I think the emotional criteria exercise gives us more permission to say it is possible to feel how I want to feel in my partnership. And some of that might include things that we are afraid that a quote unquote cookie cutter relationship or even just the average relationship would inhibit. And I would say free is one of those things that most people don't associate being in a partnership with freedom. But I believe that if it is what you desire, then it is possible to say, I will look for a romantic partnership or a criteria that will be important to me in choosing a romantic partnership will be feeling free. And that is perfectly legitimate. And so I encourage you to do the exercise of creating the emotional criteria, but also to know that that exercise helps to facilitate finding yourself only in a romantic partnership that doesn't get in the way of your fulfillment and the things that the emotions that you find are most essential to you. So that's number one, is understanding the emotional criteria and really honing in, but also understanding that if the emotional criteria isn't there, then it probably is best not to commit, and that you can put on the emotional criteria for a relationship emotions that feel essential to you to have in your life, period. And that if you feel that your romantic partnership gets in the way of those emotions, then the exercise does its duty. Then you say, oh, this is not the partnership for me because I don't feel free. For instance, and I don't know what other words might be on there, Confused Cookie, but that's a jumping off point. So that's number one. Number two, I do want to address the question of what is the purpose of a romantic relationship? I'm trying to think of the way, I'm looking for the way that you word it. Love, I can't genuinely answer what I want from it. And can I have security without typical predictability? You know, does a middle stance exist on romantic relationships, or do I need to pick a side? So a few things that I want to say. Number one, security without predictability. I'm not so sure. I think that actually you can't have complete security without typical predictability, depending on what you mean by security. I think that you can have a partnership in which you feel secure about how that person feels about you, right? Or where you feel secure in the commitment. But I personally think that having a life that is unpredictable is one of the keys to fulfillment, because we talked about in a really early episode, Comfortably Miserable was one of the episodes where I know that we talked about this specifically, that one of the keys to fulfillment is risk-taking. And risk-taking is kind of the opposite of predictability and also flies in the face of security. So I think that part of what I hear you speaking of in your letter, cookie cutter or confused cookie, I keep getting it wrong, confused cookie, is that you want something exciting. You want something that doesn't create this boring, predictable life for you. And so those are words that I encourage you to put on your emotional criteria list for whether or not you say yes to a romantic relationship. You can put the word excited, right, on your emotional criteria. You can put the word inspired, right? You can say all of those things, and it sounds like you're craving that, but then it also sounds like there's a part of you that says, ooh, but I still want security. And what I say to that is, I do think you have to pick one or the other. I think you have to either pick excitement and feeling like, wow, this is my most incredible, amazing, awe-inspiring life, and I took some pretty big fucking risks to get it. Do I feel like I have stability all the time? Absolutely not. But it's because I'm willing to risk my stability that I have all of this awesome stuff. And I think it's the same with partnership. I think that when we choose a partner from the emotional criteria, we may choose a partner who is unexpected, right? Who doesn't check all of the boxes that in high school, in college, we might have thought that we needed to check. Maybe who our parents don't totally approve of. Okay. And not because they're an asshole, but because they might not set us up for that life with the big house, the two kids, the comfortable paycheck, all of those things. I do personally think that having complete stability is at odds with having complete fulfillment. So there's that. And then the last and most important thing that I wanted to speak about, confused cookie, is the question of why invest in a romantic relationship, and when is it important to say yes to that? And here is my belief. So back when I was in, I want to say middle school, so I was a young kid, probably around 13, 14 years old. I remember seeing the movie Good Will Hunting for the very first time. And there's a scene in the movie when Robin Williams says to Matt Damon's character, do you have a soulmate? And Matt Damon says, sure, I have plenty of soulmates. And he names all of these dead writers whose philosophies and work he loves. And Robin Williams challenges him and says, oh, you know, those people are dead. What about this? And then Matt Damon says, well, what is a soulmate? And the response he gets is, a soulmate is someone who challenges you. And I remember as a young kid who had, by the way, no dating experience, at least until college, thinking, whoa, that is what a soulmate is, someone who challenges you. And so, confused cookie, what I want to share today is that I do not believe that romantic relationship is essential to a fulfilling life. In fact, I believe that, as the research that I talked about in a previous episode mentions, often getting married makes people measurably less happy. So if that's the case, then what is the purpose of a romantic relationship? And my belief is this, that the purpose of a romantic relationship, the purpose of a partnership that you decide, okay, you know, I love my life. I love my independence. I feel full. I feel complete exactly as I am. So why am I going to say yes to sharing my life with this other person who, you know, I love them. They love me. There's lots of things we can do together, potentially creating a family, potentially creating something else. But why make that commitment, you know, if I do already feel complete? Because as I said, I think from a place of completion is really the best, ideally the only place from which to make that commitment. And I think the reason why it is still worth it sometimes to make that commitment is because the purpose of a romantic partnership is to challenge us. And my experience has been that there is some serious up growth that can occur in the context of a romantic partnership. And I was thinking about your letter, Confused Cookie, and thinking about my own life, because I can relate to a lot of what you said, which is that before I married my husband, I felt fulfilled. I felt that my life was complete. I felt happy. I wasn't looking for a husband. You know, I didn't feel that I must get married. I was pretty young, so I wasn't thinking, you know, from a sort of desperate or like, I wasn't thinking about those things so deeply. But the reality is that I loved my life. I felt happy. I felt full. And at the end of the day, a relationship in many ways could have been seen as a complicating factor. But how did I then know that I should say yes to committing to my husband, my now husband, committing to that partnership? And it's the emotional criteria that allowed me to know that it was that if I was going to commit to someone, then he was a good and safe, right, and the right person to commit to, that all of those emotions that I desire and that are important to me are there. It allowed me to say, okay, this is a good relationship, right? But then there's the part of how did I decide that I wanted to be in that relationship, in a relationship at all? And the truth is that what I could see clearly with my husband is that if I committed to being in a relationship with him, then I would have to become a better person. And that to me is the purpose of partnership. And don't get me wrong, that purpose can be fulfilled through other types of relationships and connections. But I do think that in order to truly be challenged to become our best and our highest self, that challenge has to come from somebody who loves us, right? Who sees us in a positive light, who sees us as the best version of ourselves, right? But who, being around that person, inspires us or challenges us or pushes us, however you want to put it, to do better, right? Not because they're critical of us, not because we feel inferior, not because we feel guilty, but because we see this person in our life. I think that parents often describe this experience as well, and I fully believe it is possible to have this experience with a best friend or a family member, etc. But that this comes because we see this person, and being in this person's presence allows us to see the aspects of ourself that we want to grow in, you know, that we want to uplift. So let me take a quick pause and see. I haven't checked in with Alexia all episode today. I've had a lot to say. So let me check in with Alexia, because this last point is the one that to me, I was really hoping to communicate today. Mm-hmm. And I want to see if it's making sense so far about the purpose of a romantic relationship.
For sure. I think everything you're saying is spot on. Challenge is incredibly important. I think that, and you said something else at the beginning of this, which is sort of an assumption, but mm-hmm. when you choose to have this romantic relationship, you are excited about your life and excited about where things can take you, right. And that you feel full, you feel complete. And so I'm wondering what it means when, if someone's looking for a romantic relationship because they feel like there's a lack, and how do you define that lack? So I'm hearing you saying that, you don't want to feel like there's a lack or there's like empty space in your life, but that there is the capacity to grow through challenge, that you are amazing the way that you are, but there's always more amazingness to pursue. And so how do you choose someone, or not even how, but like if you are to choose someone, how are they going to challenge what you believe to be the best version of yourself in a loving and amazing and caring, uplifting way?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. You're taking it in. You're hearing what I'm saying better than I am.
Awesome. No, it's thank good. You.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Alexia. And that hearing you reflect it back sort of reconnected me to Confused Cookie and what exactly Confused Cookie said in their letter. And here's what I want to say to you, Confused Cookie, that if and when a romantic relationship is important for you to commit to, saying yes to that commitment should feel like saying yes to yourself, as opposed to saying yes to something that takes away a little bit from you, right? And to, like, I want to take it another level, that my idea is that saying yes to romantic partnership is not only saying yes to yourself, but it's saying yes to the next level of you, right? So to me, committing to a romantic partnership, it shouldn't be a given. It definitely is not necessary to have a fulfilling, complete, happy, wonderful life. But if the correct romantic relationship is in front of you, I think it should be a little bit scary. I think it should be a little bit intimidating. I think it should feel like, if I say yes to this person, oh shit, I'm gonna have to really live into those values that I said were my values, right? That you see in this other person, being around them, that the things that you claimed as your core values, you're gonna have to do that shit even better. Okay? So that to me is the why of a romantic relationship. Quite frankly, to me, it's not about the companionship. The companionship is a nice side benefit, right? It's nice to have somebody to go on vacation with. It's nice to have someone to watch a movie that you like with. It's nice to enjoy a delicious meal with someone and be like, this sushi tastes really good. Do you taste how good it tastes? And sort of share that excitement together. That is a fun, enjoyable, wonderful feeling. But to me, that's not good enough to say, I want to share my entire life with someone. Because as you imply, that is a big commitment. That is, in many ways, a sacrifice. And so, confused cookie, the final and most important thing that I want to say to you, but also to everyone listening today, is that if we are going to say yes to commitment, to committing to a romantic partnership, then we already need to have clarity on our own core values, and B, making that commitment should almost feel like it's not even a question, right? It's not even a hard decision, because that commitment will feel like this is the way to be more me. This is the way to live all of my values even better, right? Not feel like this is going to make it harder to live into these certain values of mine. So the purpose of romantic partnership to me is to challenge us to grow into our best self. And when we are around a person who does that, we'll feel it. It'll probably feel scary, a little bit intimidating, but it'll also feel really fucking good, because that is us that we're becoming. So let's review the three main things that we learned today. Number one, the emotional criteria still comes into play. The emotional criteria and understanding the shift from looking at the attributes you want in a partner to looking at how you want to feel in a partnership and being really clear on that is the first step to understanding who to commit to, right? Number two, it's probably not possible to have stability without predictability. And so I believe that we have to be willing to sacrifice predictability in order to feel like we are really engaged, right? Like we're really committed. And that we sacrifice stability rather, and that in order to not have predictability, okay? And that may also apply to the person that we're committing to. It may feel like we're making a commitment that introduces an element of instability into our life. And then the last and most important thing is that I believe the only essential purpose of a romantic relationship is not happiness, it's not companionship, it's not having somebody to share the chores or the bills with, it's not even having someone to build a family with, it's having somebody who can challenge you, who can inspire you to grow into your best self. And I do not think that that requires romantic partnership, but I do think that it requires other people, okay? It requires us to see ourselves reflected in other people. And that when we see a romantic partner who is deeply challenging us and inspiring us to become our best self, we'll feel it, and it will not clash with any of our core values. Thank you for writing to us, Confused Cookie. Thank you everyone else for tuning in today. And if you have any questions, debates, things that are going on in your own life, please, as always, write to me at sarah@thismiraculouslife.com. And we look forward to answering a new question and honoring the next miraculous day next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.